And we're really at the end of it. We're actually in the last few verses. You might be pleased to know or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, they are great verses, aren't they? I mean, what we just listened to. It's the commission, the Great Commission, it's often known as. And the last time we were here together, it was Easter Day, and we were talking about Jesus being alive. And if you can imagine what it would have been like for Jesus' followers once they knew he was alive, I guess they might have been thinking, what's next? Who told them? You know, can we trust those women that just came and told us that? Are they just a bit, you know, off the wall? I wonder what they were thinking. But the women had a really important message, and it was to go and meet with Jesus. Jesus said to them, tell them to meet me in Galilee. And that's the first part of this sort of section that Jesus called his disciples that were there and said, come and meet me. He sent them a message, come and meet me. And I was thinking, oh, that's great. That's the passage. Thank you. I'll go on to the next one. That's the wrong way. Right. So Jesus said, come and meet me. And it was at the mountain. It was a mountain in Galilee. Now, as we've been going through Matthew, we've probably noticed there's been some very significant things happening on mountains. You might remember, or you might not, I don't know, that the Sermon on the Mount was obviously on a mountain. And then a bit later, we read about the transfiguration of Jesus. We see that, again, there was something really important happening on a mountain. And here again, we're on a mountain. And it struck me really that the mountain seems to be the place of encounter. Sometimes it's the point where Jesus seems to be really speaking to his disciples and actually showing them something very specific, and where they meet him. They're in his presence. And I was just wondering for ourselves, do you recognize there may be a place of encounter for you with Jesus? Is there a place, a physical place maybe? Or it might be that, you know, it's the best chair in the front room. Or it may be that it's out looking over the beach, over the sea. Is there somewhere special that you can go, that you know that you have that sort of meeting with Jesus? A couple of weeks ago, we were in Northumbria. And we were in Lindisfarne, which is, other name of it, is the Holy Island, Holy Island. And that is commonly known as a thin place. It's a place where, Christianity probably had its first sort of roots. And it's where people like, say, Dayden and Cuthbert actually came close to God. It was a very sort of thin place. They were very in touch with what God was saying to them. And sometimes we can have those experiences, can't we, where we feel God is very close. And I just really long for that. I don't know whether you do, that presence, knowing what it's like to be really close to Jesus. But when the disciples got there, one thing that struck me, it says that some of them worshipped and some of them doubted. And I thought, Jesus accepts us, doesn't he? Whoever we are, he accepts us with our worshipping hearts. He accepts us with our doubts. But we can still come into his presence. We can still come to him. And we can be open and honest in that setting. So there's an invitation, really, to come and encounter Jesus, to encounter his presence, to be with him. That's the invitation from the risen Jesus. And so I've just asked you this morning whether you can come and encounter him today, again, afresh. Can you come? And Jesus himself actually asked us, he called us, and he called his disciples to come to me, all of you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. There's a sense that before we can go, we have to come. We have to come first to encounter Jesus. And some of you might have been following the Lectio 365 readings that come from 24/7 prayer. And back in the week, back around the Easter time, Sarah Yardley was speaking on there. And one of the things she said about this passage, it was this passage they were reading. She said this, I have sometimes lost the joy of sharing my faith. It's become a duty rather than a delight. And I just wondered sometimes, have we sort of found ourselves in a rut, just going along doing things because that's the thing we do, you know, ticking the box. Have we still got that delight or joy in salvation? So what I want to do this morning is actually invite you to come to Jesus. We're going to break bread together and invite you to come again and sort of to the cross and remember that first Good Friday. And receive from Jesus, receive from him what you need, receive forgiveness, receive joy again as we break bread together. So you should all have your little pots there and we can do that together. So if you can find that. So if you take the bread, or the wafer as it is, and we'll just read some verses from Matthew, in fact. So while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." So let's do that. Let's thank Jesus as we take the bread, take the wafer. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you invite us to your table. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made that way possible. Thank you for the salvation that you bring us. And thank you for the refreshment we can find in you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Then he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." As we drink the wine or the juice, let's just receive his forgiveness this morning. Receive his new life, his resurrection life that he's offering us today. Thank you, Lord. Let's find the joy again of our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have brought us. Thank you that we're in your family. Thank you that you've brought us close to you again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right, if we move on to the second part of the verse. This is about going. The second part of this passage is about going. Jesus commissions his disciples. Despite the doubt that they were perhaps held in their minds, some of them, Jesus still calls them to him to go. Jesus starts this little discourse by saying that he has been given all authority and he is now king of the world. And I just wanted to read something from the book that we've been following from Tom Wright, just to put the context here for us. It says that Jesus came into Galilee announcing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now, risen from the dead, Jesus declares that it's happened. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's what he said. All that God now does in heaven and on earth, he will do it through Jesus. This is the great message of this gospel. Jesus is King and Lord, not just in heaven, but on earth as well. And that was the authority with which Jesus was telling his disciples that they were to go and continue this kingdom building process. It probably might have seemed a bit daunting to think that they were now entrusted with this, but Jesus was giving them his authority for that. And it reminded me of the story in Matthew earlier on, I think it's in chapter 8, where a centurion, a Roman centurion, came to Jesus and said, "My servant's paralyzed, can you heal him?" And Jesus said, "Do you want me to come?" And the man said, "Well, actually, no, I don't deserve you to come to my house, but I am somebody who's under authority. I'm a Roman under authority. And you can just say the word and he will be healed." And this centurion just recognized in Jesus some authority, an authority that would actually speak, he could speak the word and his servant would be healed. He said, "I'm a man under authority and I recognize that you are that too." So, and that's the same for us, isn't it? As we go with Jesus' authority. He's given it to us. So I was thinking about, what do we have to do? What does that those verses say? It says, they say that you should go and baptize and teach people about what Jesus had been teaching them. And it's interesting, isn't it, that just being a disciple, if you look at those disciples, as what they were doing, they were being with Jesus. They were becoming more like him as they listened to his teachings and were following him. And they were doing the things he did. And that's what being disciples is about. So I think what we're doing as we go, and we follow Jesus' commission as we go, is that we're just getting alongside people and helping them to do the same. To be with Jesus, to be like him, and to do the things he did. And Jesus gave us some clues. He said, baptizing them, which is a symbol of death and life, again, his new life, and teaching them to observe everything that he told them and told us. And we've been looking through Matthew, and there's plenty of references there, like to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus explains his teachings about loving God, loving each other, loving our neighbour as ourselves. So as we go, Jesus said to them, "Don't worry, I am with you. I am with you always to the end of the earth, the end of the age. I am with you." And this is a bit like the Hebrew word for God was Yahweh, which is I am. And it's that the whole of God's being can be with us. His presence can be with us as we go. And we can encounter the Holy Spirit as we go. So we've got a lot to think about as we take ourselves off into our daily lives, and we can start to put into practice some of the things that Jesus has told us. But I think for us, it's about being open, and people can actually read our lives, can't they? We can, they can look at us and see who what we're like and who we are and what we are learning. So I think it's important for us to follow Jesus' teaching as well.